you. Anya bilashita shunyam. Without desires other than those for the service of Krishna. Or without material desires. Jnana. By the knowledge of the philosophy of the monist Mayavadis. By the knowledge of the philosophy of the monist Mayavadis. Yes. Moment, I'm just looking for the page here. Yes, karma, by fruitive activities, adi, by artificially practicing detachment, by the mechanical practice of yoga, by studying the Sankhya philosophy, and so on. By the mechanical practices of yoga, by studying the Sankhya. I admit this is a lot to remember. Anavritam, not covered. Anukulyena, favorable. Krishnanushilanam, cultivation of service in relationship to Krishna. Bhakti, Uttama, first class devotional service. The translation again, when first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably, as Krishna desires. So we had yesterday talked about the first part of this verse. This verse has two parts. The part starting from Anukulyena Krishnanu is describing the Svarupa Lakshanas, the primary characteristics, that is the most, let us say, the essential, yeah, there is a grammatical word which I can't remember at the moment, but it's what is talked about. It's bhakti. And then there comes the Anyabhilashita Shunyam part. This is called the Tatashta Lakshana, or the secondary characteristic. It describes and qualifies what is talked about. So the definition of bhakti, and I take this from the second part of the verse, Anyukulyena Krishnanu, means that it is an that it is for Krishna. Krishna, and it is Krishnanu means for Krishna, that it is a shilanam. Shilanam means like an activity done with words and mind and speech and so on. And anukulyena, it is done in a favorable way. That means in a way seeking to give pleasure. It's for your pleasure, my Lord. So today, so we defined in the beginning, when we start our bhakti, we can all do that if we consider bhakti a way which brings us to Krishna. We can all start our day and do and think of Krishna first of all. I suggested we think of Krishna that he is someone who is a good Lord, a friendly Lord. I had read to you two qualities from the Nectar of Devotion. Let me see if we can find them. Yes, Krishna loves his devotees. it's quality 39. When the devotees love him, he is impressed by this. He's controlled by their love. So we had this yesterday. I would like to be this morning very clear. This is not yet the highest level of bhakti, but it is bhakti as a way, bhakti where we start, bhakti where we still have imperfections, that is, we may still be, to some degree, have some of the bad qualities, or be attached, or, you know, have our stuff, our personal obstacles. But this does not, it's very important, this does not debar anyone, or that's, I think, not the right English, but it doesn't keep anyone away from bhakti. Huh? You can start on the road of bhakti by just doing this. I do like very much to repeat to you an example which His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has given. He said to start bhakti is almost like to start a journey early in the morning. When you go on the road, you don't see left and right, you just see what the headlights show you. That is the part of the road. You miss the nice trees left and right, and the mountains and valleys and rivers. But as you progress on the road, all of a sudden, I think we know this, it's especially, I always start my journey around Brahma Muhurta when it's still dark, because it said travel light and travel early, you know. That is how you travel in a very good, easy way. So you start your road and you just see what is in front of you. And you may see these white lines, tuk 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 tuk. And only when you are a little bit further down the road will you see what is left and right of the road, and see more. So just to start our bhakti, and I thought there's a very good example of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. He has a way to put things very, very nicely and very nicely understandable for us. It's very helpful. So you can start your bhakti by just having a little bit, let us call it a tunnel vision of bhakti. You know what is a tunnel vision? What you see when you look in the tunnel? You see a little part of the sky and the atria on the other side of the tunnel, but you don't see, of course, the mountains and so many other things. So it is important for me to have the starting point clear. Where do we start? So that we are on the right road and not on the wrong road, and we find out after 20 years we didn't get where we wanted to go. we went to some other place. So it is necessary to start at the right point, and if you have missed it, to come back to the right point. Yesterday there was one devotee, very nice Vaishnav, and he came to me. He was clearly moved, and he said, "Thank you very much for this class." And I thought, I don't know if it was a good class. Probably I tried my best, but when I saw that my audience was tired, I became a little bit too German-like, and I offended them by being too intense. He said, "No, I want to thank you." He said, "Why do you want to thank me?" He said, "For the first time I now have a hope. I do understand now what is bhakti. It's very clear to me now, and I will try this." So I want to ask you, have you already tried to implement, or let me say like this, who of you has tried to implement these 3 points today? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good turnout. It's half of the audience. Thank you very much for being willing. So, if I would give a seminar, I would now ask the other half, why didn't you try it? But I will save you this morning. I expect also the other half to try it. Why? Because you need to, these things you can only understand if you practice. There are certain things in life, like for instance eating, if I can be so blunt, you will only understand the taste of a preparation if you eat it. You cannot understand it theoretically. For instance, how will you understand from this description what I'm talking about? It talks about it tastes like a forest with the Adria wind over it. What were I talking about? Honey from Dalmatia. Because there's a forested hills. Actually, there's not so much forest. I should say, I didn't give an accurate describe. It tastes like rosemary and lavender on hills mixed with the wind of the Adria. One cannot understand from this description, although I think it is a good description of Dalmatian honey. You have to distinguish it from Russian honey. So you have to mention lavender and rosemary, But if I would ask Sharangatako to give you a jug of honey from Dalmatia and you would eat it, you would say, I know now what it you were talking about. Lavender and rosemary. I got it. as Hari Prasad would tell us. These things also, if you just listen to them, it will be very boring for you after some time. You must practice it to get an idea what we are talking about. To get the taste of bhakti, you can't really talk about it. You have to taste it. So please, the other half, the passive half, become the active half. Try. Some of you are now. Of course, you're now listening. I don't want to give some practice which you can't do at the moment. Fine. So now we will go to the secondary characteristics. I considered what I have talked now very simple subjects. I will now go into an area where you will need to concentrate a little bit more, but it's easy, it's in the morning. Morning means full concentration for us. It's not difficult. The Tathashta Lakshana, the secondary characteristics, and it's not easy for me to talk about it, so let me offer my obeisances to Prabhupada and hope he will be merciful to me this morning. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivasesa Sunyavadi Askatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Govaktavinna Thapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Panamami Hari Priye Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostune Tapta. Oh, we had this. Sorry. Let us offer obeisances to the devotees. We had already offered. Sorry. Vancha Kalpataru Vaisha Kriva Sindhu Vaivacha Paditanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Rupa Goswami, now after giving the primary symptoms of bhakti, tells us a little bit how to purify this bhakti, how to make it really not just bhakti but uttama bhakti, first class of pure devotional service. It's like he has given us gold and now he will give us some fire to heat the gold so that the impurities will go out of the gold which are still there, and that the gold will become brilliant and luminous. And so this fire, so to say, which makes bhakti pure and first class, not just bhakti, is what is called the tatastha lakshana. First of all, it's really two decisions which you must make in your life, two convictions which are necessary and which will then inform your activities. I thank you, Jagannath Mishra. You are taking care of our oxygen. Thank you so much. The first decision is you must be convinced that bhakti, pure bhakti, like that of the great bhaktas, is your goal in life. That is important. The verse says here, Anya bilashita shunyam. You shouldn't have other desires. You want this pure bhakti. Jnana kamadya navritam means you will not cover your endeavor by jnana or by karma. And I would like to discuss each of these two points separately, so that we will understand. This point might become a little bit challenging for you, because I will really dig a little bit in your psychology, so please fasten your seat belts. It needs, you know, this is called a training session. We need to be a little bit to the point, and not talk around the points. Anya bilashita shunyam. Free from desire-ness. This is the literal translation. You must have this as my goal. My desire is this bhakti. I want this bhakti. I'm now still at the beginning stages. I can unfortunately only serve Krishna and remember Krishna and try to please him for a short time, but I'm going for the real thing in my life. I want to learn this eventually, and in order to do this, I do have to become free from my desire-ness. I'm not speaking of desires, because that would be the wrong translation. Rupa Goswami does not say anyabilas shunya. He speaks, abilas means desires, but why does he use the word abilashita, which means the desireness, means that the quality of having desires? See, let us look for a moment as desires. Do you have desires, or is it something which you don't know what it is? you have them. Desires there are two types of desires. Every one of us must have desires. We can never ever be free of desires. It's not possible. Desires are basic instincts for self-preservation and thus inevitable. You can't go with it. For instance, the drive to survive, or the drive to eat, or the drive to sleep, or to evacuate. You know, I could give a class, be free from the desire to evacuate, but those who have to evacuate, if they will have to run out of the class, no matter how interesting it is, because they will say, no, I desire to now go to the VC, it is important, you know, the bathroom, it is first place at the moment, because there will be a drama if I don't do it. Or the desire for security. It will always be with us. It is so basic. It is so instinctual and so absolutely habitual that you can't do without it. You can't be free of desires. It will never, ever be possible. It's an impractical suggestion. So therefore, Rupa Goswami doesn't say an yabilashita shunya. He wants to give a practical path. Can you ever give these things up? No, it's not possible. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us an example of inevitable desires. He says when a devotee comes into a life-threatening situation, let us say one bullock cart goes with full speed and he sits on the bullock cart, I'm giving a 15th century example, and it comes, the bull got crazy and he runs towards a cliff. So this is a life-threatening 15th century situation, you know. You know that I'm heading with full speed over this cliff and I will die if I fall. So at that time the devotee might call out to Krishna, "Oh Lord, please save me, your devotee, from this danger to lose my life." Now usually the devotee does not call out for material desires, you know. There's no material desires to survive or to escape a difficult situation. I mean, let me say like this. This is a material desire for security, material security. But the devotee has to call out like this, and it is 100% all right. It's not against the practices of pure bhakti. Rupa Goswami doesn't say you must be free from all types of desires. For instance, in this case, the desire for security. Then what do we have to be free from? If it's not our desires, but if it is anyabilashita, the quality of the desireness, it means, to translate it in simple English, ulterior motives. This means that even a devotee who still has material desires, if his motive is not ulterior, that is, I want to fulfill my desires through Krishna consciousness, then he's a candidate for bhakti. I would like to give you an example of what is not all right, what is the ulterior motives. I was driving with our Brijbasi driver into Delhi, and all of a sudden the Brijbasi driver says, "Maharaj, I have to tell you something." And I said, "Yeah, yes, what?" And he was very serious. We had become attached over the last few weeks because he served the devotees during the retreats, and he did it nice. He served. He was not just driving for them. He became like a family member. "Don't trust the Indian devotees," he said. I said, "Wow, this is called a Vaishnava Bharat. Can you please tell me why do you say this?" And he said, "No, only trust the Western devotees." What? What is going on in your mind? And it is interesting. Please find out what you think about his reasoning. He said, "The Western devotees have given up everything. Money, their culture, some have given up their families for Krishna. But the Indian devotees had nothing, and they have seen the rich Hare Krishna temples and have gone in the temple to get two dhotis, an American wife, a good tiffin." Tiffin means where you can transport enormous quantities of food. The Western devotees are free from ulterior motives, and the Indian devotees are full of ulterior motives. And Rupa Goswami, he's a rich Parsi, and sometimes they know some verses. Not sometimes, often. So he said, I said, "I think your estimation of the Western devotees is too high, and your estimation of the Indian devotees is too low." He was talking about this, and then another Brijbasi, who's a Brahmin, very good Brahmin, he told me of his experience with some Indian devotees and what they talked. And they talked about, he told me something which I don't want to repeat, but something not good, where they expressed their abhilashita, their motives, why they had joined the movement for Krishna consciousness. So by the way, I really think this is a simplification. We have wonderful devotees in India. Do you know in Mayapur there are about 15 devotees who chant each day 64 rounds for Krishna, and they do full service? I don't think these are not good devotees. They are wonderful, but I just wanted you to hear, and you must know, the people from Uttar Pradesh never like the Bengalis, and the Bengalis never like there is something in India which, as you go deeper into the culture, there are fun jokes about Bengalis, just like you joke here in the Balkans about the people of Montenegro. You say, why does a Montenegro person always have a chair next to his bed? And the joke goes like this: when he is, because when he gets up from sleeping, he might have to take a little pause and recover and sit on the chair. This is how you joke. This is an intercultural joke, Or we have the Ostfriesenwitze, we joke about the people from North northwest of Germany. That, my God, there are so heavy jokes. If I would tell you, you would just die from laughter. They are mean jokes. They are not good jokes. I have seen devotees from Montenegro. They are extremely determined, and they never think of their own welfare, and they just do seva, seva, seva. I'm saying these are... So in India, the same thing goes on. They joke about people from other provinces. And when someone says something about... you have to take it with a breeze of salt. My point here is, Rupa Goswami speaks about the quality of your desires. You have to give up that type of quality where you enter the path of bhakti, and you don't want to attain bhakti for Krishna, but you just have other ulterior motives. And he speaks about these motives where it gets in a little time. But I would like to first of all say, it is not bad to have desires. It is not forbidden to have desires on the path of bhakti. Desires will be always there. You don't have to give it up. And of course, according to your level of development, the way you are, you have certain desires. For instance, some of you may think, I must go to that ultimate fight show where Mirko is fighting against Remo, you know, to the ultimate end. There is some posters there available on the thing, and that means maybe you have stored aggressions in you, some aggressions, and you like some fighting. You yourself don't want to do it, at least not in body, only with words. And then you want to go to this ultimate fight and see it. It is a certain development which brings your desires. Others have other desires. But if these desires which you have and which will be purified as you go on the process of bhakti, do not become ulterior motives, that you are here to enjoy bhakti for your own purposes, to become rich or to, I don't know, you know, to... But I don't want to give examples of very bad things which you could do. Then it's no problem. Krishna speaks about this. And I want to talk about this to encourage you, because sometimes we hear, you have to be pure, 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 pure. And we go like, this is too much. This is not for me, you know. And you stop endeavoring because you think from the start, I will never make it. I want to give you examples. Krishna speaks about his devotees, and he speaks about those devotees who are still have desires. He says, Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mang ananyabhag. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. You know, he speaks about a new person who is on the road of bhakti, who has done something, you know, something really... Do you know the word abominable, what it means in your language? Who can translate abominable? Odvratno. Oh, that sounds already abominable. You know, old Vradno. Oh my God, this makes you shudder. But even if someone does, Krishna says, if he is on that path of bhakti, he is to be considered saintly. In 1 or 2 days he will be saintly, he will give up this, because the bhakti is so powerful, it will purify him. But this means he has to be on the right path. He has to do something with his body, his words and his mind for Krishna to give him pleasure. Otherwise it doesn't work. He will not be purified. He will be always a new man. And so on. The Bhagavatam talks also about a devotee who has still desires, who is not free from desires, and it gives encouragement to such a devotee and says, no problem, you can do bhakti and the end will be glorious for you. It says, Jata shato matkatashu nirvina sarva karmasu Veda dukatma kankaman parijage pyanishvara tato bhajeta mang prita shadhalu tritanishchaya yoshamanas chatan kamang dukoda kangshagarhayam. Now, Krishna speaks. He says, Uddhava, if someone has awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, and he is disgusted with all material activities, he knows this is not good, this is not good. And if he knows that all sense gratification will lead to misery, he has seen this. But still, he is unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. No problem. My devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. You know, he slips it, he blows it. He goes to Mirko and Remo, or looks at Mirko and Remo getting like at themselves and hurting themselves, you know. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. This is from the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 20, verses 27 to 28. 11, 20, 27 to 28. Krishna encourages us, says us. He gives a further illustration to what he said in the Gita, that if he's on the right path, he is to be considered saintly. And here he describes what is still, you know, clouding his devotees. It's the desire to enjoy his senses separately, and he's really... and he's doing it, but he should not despair. At the beginning, it's still natural, but he should stay on the path. He should have this decision, shraddha, you know, this conviction. It's called dritta nishchaya. Bhakti is my goal. Bhakti is my goal. I have a goal. I will get not bhakti. Pure bhakti, uttama bhakti, is my goal. It's my goal. It indicates that a devotee on this stage has some faith in Krishna, no? And wants to reach him. Thus he thinks, now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will go into the psychology of such a devotee, and I feel he speaks directly to my heart. I can pray like this. He says, how he thinks. And try to see if you can identify with this. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. You know, I was a little bit materialistic before I came to Krishna consciousness. And I did things which are not to be revealed in the association of Vaishnavas. So therefore, I still have these sanskaras, these impressions. And I like to see, you can go into my home and look at my film library, then you know my attachments, and so on. No? Personally, I have no power to stop these illusory attachments. I tried, but it's there. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. See, this means to be on the right path. I will always do this bhakti, which Rupa Goswami defined the three qualities. Sakrishnum, with the Telotsky, with the body, and the Umsky, the mind, and the Ritzi, the words, you know. I will do this, and I will do this in a way to give Him pleasure. I want to satisfy Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I should go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. This is what you need. This type of orientation, that I will serve Him. I will somehow do it, even if I still have these unbecoming desires. No? You have no ulterior motive. Your motive is all right. Some of you are parents. And you know, the child may do some glupast, some nonsense. But if the child doesn't want to hurt you, you say, I was also a child, I did I did other things. The motive must be all right. I want the right thing. That's very good. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me and offers me other activities than bhakti, I am not interested. I know I am attached to material things. I can see clearly also that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. Isn't this very close to our heart, Ramananda? It is realistic. We know, okay, here is no pretense. We are talking about psychology here. Or like sometimes of my, one Mataji once came to me and said, Guru Maharaj, do you think your Grihastha disciples will follow all four regulative principles the way it is defined by Srila Prabhupada, only for the procreation of children? Do you know what I mean? I said, I think they will all do this. And then this my disciple said, I think you are an illusion, naive. I said, let me be naive, it's all right. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions four types of devotees. Three of these four are full of material desires. Who remembers them? These type of devotees. Those who are distressed and want to solve their distress. Those who look for money. Those who are curious. Yeah, they're curious, isn't it? Inquisitive, huh? Yes, they just, I want to find out these Hare Krishnas, what they do, you know, what it's all about. And then he gives, then examples are given by our acharyas of those who want, who have material desires, who want money, and who would just, I suffered so much, now I want to enjoy, now my time should come. Pizza, Capri's, olive oil. You know, I'm and everything else which I not talk about in the public, you know, the material desires. But Krishna says all these devotees are great souls, he writes, and Vishwanath Thakur says, what is going on in Krishna's mind? It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. No. The Lord says that all these people, all these devotees, with all their, you know, all their desires, you know, are magnanimous. Magnanimous means great people, because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, or great soul. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti says how the Lord thinks even about these devotees who are maybe like me, who are still have material, who are not totally pure. No? He says, these devotees worship me. They also accept all objects which they desire, but I wanted to give them these things anyways. Now you, what? Krishna wanted to give you your bass guitar anyways. He wanted to give you your film anyways. Because he thinks they are my devotees. They come. They are what they are, like my children. You know, he's really like a father. When the father sees his boy wants a new tractor, and he wants it so much, you know, and the tractor, can't you get something more attractive, please, than a tractor? And he sees my child wants a tractor, father, tractor. The other boy from the neighborhood has a tractor. I also want a tractor. Oh, tractor, anything. Something healthy to eat, biological. No, tractor. Some nice dress which you can go and play. No, tractor. What is a tractor? They're so expensive. No, plastic tractor. You know, then the father will go, well, he's a child. I thought he would be Sugadev Goswami or Sita Thakurani, you know, or you know, from my body and the body of my wife, only a pure devotee comes. But he wants a tractor. All right, let's go and buy a good tractor, better than the neighbor tractor. So Krishna also thinks like this. This is young devotees, little newcomers, but they are on the path and they want really bhakti. That is something which is still there, passing clouds, it will go. So he says, I'm affectionate to all devotees and I like to give them generously. But I must also say, the one who is in search of knowledge, that means not material things, he is my very self. He worships me thus and not desires anything at all from me, neither swaga nor moksha. Thus I'm dependent on him. He's my very soul. Krishna, he says, it's all right, but it's not the highest goal. Huh? The highest is those who want things. Here, the main point is your motivation should be, I want bhakti. And for this, my dear devotees, you need to hear a lot about not just Krishna, but Krishna's devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us Krishna Katha is complete not just if you talk about Krishna, but how do Krishna's devotees feel? Because as you hear this, and as you hear about the sweet relationship between Krishna and his devotees, you think, I want this. I really want this. This is the best. You know, they are in relationship with Krishna. This is my goal. I also want this. You know, because it's so loving, and how Krishna deals with his devotees, and how he stood alone in the palace gate in Dwaraka to wait for Sudha. My God, I want such a relationship. Second decision. First decision is, bhakti is my goal. I may still have these material desires, but bhakti is my goal. The second decision is, can I help? It's okay. Good. The second decision is, nothing else is required except for bhakti. And now I come to something where the International Society for Krishna Consciousness needs to learn a lesson. Astrology, psychology, all these other things should not cover bhakti. He says, Rupa Goswami says, it should not, what is it? Anavilasita shunyam jnana kama janavritam. It should not cover the bhakti. You may go to an astrologer to find out if such a relationship of your friend with the other friend will work, you know, if that marriage between this man and this woman will work, or you may go to get some psychological counseling when you feel, oh, I'm just not getting over this. There's something which just haunts me, and I don't get it out of my mind. This is a traumatic situation. I need to be. I'm traumatized apparently by something, but it should not cover. You can take help, but it should not become the only thing. More important than your, there's Krishna, he's a loving God, I want to use my body and my words and my things in his service, and I want to do it not with any ulterior motives, I want to do it to give him pleasure. This should not be covered by this jnana or karma, this decision. And nothing else is required except for bhakti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, some say he's a reincarnation of Rupa Goswami, or at least he imbibed Rupa Goswami's full spirit, and that's why I like to quote him very much on the subjects in this lecture. He has one verse from the Bhagavatam which he likes so much that he quotes it 14 times in his writing. It's a verse, I must say, when I read it, I didn't think it's a very special verse. I mean, it didn't strike me as very special. But then I found out that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur likes it so much, it must be special. Can I read this verse to you? It explains to us why these other things should not cover bhakti, these jnana and karma practices. He says, yat karma bi yat tapasa jnana vairagya tascayat yogena dhana dharmena Shreyo bhiya itarairapi savam mat bhakti yogena mat bhakto labhaten yasa svaga pavagam mat dhama katanchit yadivanchati. everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, psychology is in the term is knowledge, and astrology is also knowledge, detachment, yoga, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting one's life. All this, what can be achieved by this, is easily achieved by my devotee through bhakti or loving service unto me. If somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. It's amazing. Some more clarification is required, I can see in your faces. He speaks now, Krishna says, my dear devotees, you don't need to go anywhere else. Come to me. Come to my bhakti. Do my devotional service. If you still should desire something, promotion to heaven, heaven is, no one of us knows how to enjoy, by the way. In heaven you can enjoy. Here, some Mercedes Benz and some, in our tired material bodies where the senses are just so weak and give up after a few minutes of eating ice cream and can't eat anymore. You know, this is ridiculous to try to enjoy here. But in heaven you can eat ice cream for 24 hours and it's still the senses are still extremely strong and not weakened. You know, so if this is there, all this can be easily achieved by my devotees. And examples are given. For instance, Chitraketu liked good cars. I mean, not good cars, good vimanas, you know, airplanes. He wanted to have one. And he liked interesting company. So he was going with the heavenly damsels in his vimanas and traveling. Now, some of you smiled. That's it. That's it. Finally, you're talking about something. That was on the side still. And he got this. Or Vishwanath Thakur gives the example. Shukadev Goswami, he wanted to be free from all entanglement in the illusory potency of the Lord. He wanted to be the super renounced brahmachari. Huh? And Krishna gave it to him. Liberation from all maya. In other words, if Krishna, Vishwanath says, sees some small attachments in the hearts of his devotees, he may fulfill them. But he also says, intelligent devotees, they are dedicated completely to me alone, and they do not desire liberation and all these other things, even if I offer to them. He doesn't give any doubts. It's not the highest level. But he says, it doesn't stop you from being my devotee, provided, I have to repeat it, I will repeat it about 100 times in this lecture, you understand what is bhakti and you do bhakti, and you have the goal to attain pure bhakti, and you are not covering this by thinking other things are more important, which are in the jnana and karma situation. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, I find that in our ISKCON theology, practical theology, we have gotten this wrong. We have started with renunciation. You must renounce, you must renounce, you must renounce. It's someone. In some countries, if a devotee has hair and comes into the temple, everyone points at him, Maya, 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 Maya. or just to have a beard. You know, someone desires to have a beard for some reason, you know, that it feels very nice to have a good, strong beard, you know, then oh, Maya, you cannot be a devotee. And many have given up the path because of this. It's not the point of bhakti. It's not Krishna's point. It's not the acharya's point. It's a point of a movement who wants to somehow understand things from their perspective, who may also be a little judgmental and not be open to, and not humanly realistic. With this, I'm absolutely not saying, I want to say this again, because I'm attacking now a concept, and there will be a reaction from this concept, from the conservative quarters. I'm not saying that these attachments should go on. They have nothing to do with bhakti. It's not that it's bhakti to have a beard. And we have some movements. Oh, now I should not criticize it. But some movement, there's one movement, everyone needs to have a beard. Otherwise, it's not socially accepted. In ISKCON, everyone does, and no one should have a beard. So there's a counter beard movement, you know. Hare Krishna, very advanced Raganugis. It's not the point of bhakti to have a beard or to not have a beard. It is absolutely childish. But not childish, that's a judgmental statement. It's besides the point. The point of bhakti is to do that there's Krishna, and you use what you have, your sadhan sharir, your body, and you in his service, and you want to give him pleasure. It's not about you, it's about putting Krishna in the center. Now, of course, now comes the second part of this, but I'm almost finished, don't worry, it won't be a long time part. Of course, these material desires get in the way of developing pure bhakti. If you pursue material desires, it takes a lot of energy, it takes money, it may bewilder your mind. And in a mind which has so many materialistic impressions, you may not be able to think of Krishna and do bhakti. It's not that this is good. But as you begin the process, and you started as a human being and not yet as Shukadev Goswami, you might have to go through these areas and then realize, well, this is not so important. My question to you is now, how do you become free of material desires? I think it's very important. Or you just said it's all right to have material. It is normal. And you can still do bhakti. But these material desires can develop into their karmic reactions to some of them. You know, all of them, when you look a movie, it's in your head and in your hair for some time. Or if you break the principles, there is a reaction. It's not that this is... So let us now talk about, is there a way to become free of material desires? I want to hear practical answers. Higher taste. I will not quote you entirely because I want to reserve this point for later. I hope no one has heard. Other... Yeah. How will you pray? Will you do it like Augustinus? My Lord, please free me from the desires, but not just now. please accept me, you will say, like I am, and please give me a higher taste, maybe like that. Yeah. By the way, the same Augustinus never went to ultimate fights. In his time, it was gladiators in the stadium. And one day his friends said, you must come to an ultimate fight. Fight means ultimate gladiators. One will be dead, the other will live. Or in rare cases, you could, you know, the one who lost the fight could also be begnadigt. What do you say, begnadigt? He could be given life. Huh? Very terrible, very brutal. So he said, I don't want to go. So he went. No, then his friend said, it's very good. It's some, you know, it's some entertainment and you are not hurt, only the guys are hurting themselves. It's a good diversion and we are all aggressive people and sometimes it helps you to see this. And Augustine said, no, it's too brutal. It's like I'm not an animal. But then his friends said, and he sat there and he had his cloth down. He went along with his friends, but he didn't want to see how they were, you know, going with knives and putting them into the bodies and so on. He said like this. And one time he said, let me just see for a moment. And at that time, the one gladiator killed the other in a brutal way. And for many years, this impression stayed in his heart. And he couldn't get it out because these material things leave an impression. It's not good to follow them, but you know, no? So how can we become free of these desires, which are maybe there? Strong will, that's very impractical. That's enough to become free? Start. Starting is you look what is there. Because if you don't look what is there, it will still be there. We must cultivate new wishes. How do you do this?
You have to
increase our attachment to Krishna. You're still going in circles in your argument. We are looking that everyone wants, but the desires are there. So if you tell them, you just do what you want, that is Krishna consciousness and attachment to Krishna, how will it help me to become free of what I don't want? Do you follow my... Are you still there? Yeah. It's a nice project, and maybe it works for you, Mandaleshwari. Yes.
Meaningful peer association, so when they're also having different desires to please Krishna and then similar.
Here an interesting point comes in. We need to have something outside of us. Association with devotees who are sincere, who want to serve Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Use the intelligence to understand it didn't work in the past.
Use your intelligence and understand it didn't work in the past. Narada Muni says something like this in the Mahabharata. He says you should think about the result of following this desire. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are very new, Anton. You will give a very new... actually, let us have some new ideas. Yes, yes.
You must have good impressions.
You must have good impressions of devotional service.
That will make bad impressions go away.
That will make the bad impressions go away. Like programming. You have a bad program, then you put a good program and exchange it. Yeah, Anton is a programmer. Yes. Yes, Anadi Krishna.
Seriously
chant the holy name. Yes, and then Chetodapanam Majanam, the mirror of the heart, will be purified. Nice. Mm-hmm. Let me look at some Matajis. Palika, what is your program? Do book distribution.
If you read your Prabhupada's books and then you try and spread it to them, Krishna gives you more knowledge to try and...
Wonderful program. that you do book distribution. I didn't mean it, I said it wrongly, but Palika says, let's go on book distribution. But she gives a reason for this. She says, you are reading the knowledge, and then you're distributing the knowledge, and when you distribute knowledge, it increases in you. A very intelligent plan. Oh my God. I never saw it like this, Palika. But it's a fact. She's a new devotee, Syamachanda. Marayanti, practical program, yes?
Yes.
Go to Vrindavan.
We love the renunciation that loves us, and then slowly we are giving up from the things.
Yeah.
I think so, that only by love.
A wonderful program. Thank you, Marayanti. What a wonderful answer you have given. A very deep answer. We need to be loved, says Marayanti, and be in a loving association, and then we can generate. It's a fact, and it's from the Upanishads. You are a highly learned pandit. Two essential needs everyone has: to be loved and to love. And when these are fulfilled, other needs are fulfilled. Very, very pandit. I didn't think of that, Marayanti, but such a good answer. I thank all of you. I see there's some more thinking is going on, and you have some answers to this. Listen to this answer of the Bhagavatam. You have implied it already, and one of you has said it in the very beginning, but I didn't quote that to have you all a little bit to give the sweet at the end. I was for a long, long time thinking, how is it possible to give up desires? You know, I'm such a person, I sometimes have a desire. I can talk to you honestly, it's about literature. I do like literature still. And I sometimes wish I wouldn't have that desire, because it takes time to read a book. And I really don't have much time. I wish I wouldn't have to read this book. You would call them good books, and it's nothing bad. I you know, my birthday comes, and I should not, destroy all your good opinions about me, so that you can't celebrate. It's just I like to learn now from Nelson Mandela. How could he give up the spirit of taking revenge? So I'm reading the long journey to freedom, because you cannot imagine, the black people in Africa were so suppressed, and the natural reaction was to now become the spear of the African spirit. You know, in other words, get weapons and kill the white people. They were treated so badly. Oh, it breaks your heart to read that, what was going on in apartheid. And he was first thinking of taking revenge and going all over the world to get weapons for the armed resistance against this. And then they got him, and he spent 27 years in prison, being spit at, being... He lost, he could not cry afterwards any longer, because he saw so much bad things. You know, it breaks a man, 27 years in prison. He was a good man. He tried at least his best. And he was interviewed. What is the difference between the Nelson who went inside the prison and the Nelson who left the prison 27 years later? And listen to his surprising answer. He said, I understood that taking revenge and being bad to those who are bad to you never solves the problem. I became more mature, and I was willing to forgive. and to look for, here comes a difficult English word, I had to look it up, reconciliation, is that the right word? What does mean this mean, reconciliation, Hari Prasad? To come together and sort it out. Yes. And,
if it's involving multiple parties, it's really to come together, but it can be also a personal reconciliation, which is just to accept something and be okay with it.
Oh, yeah. You might have to look that word up, reconciliation. It's something to come to grips, to terms with. No? But violence is not a solution. You know, so that was amazing. So I'm interested, how did his transformation work? So I'm reading, but I wish then I ordered it, and it was such a big book. I said, oh no, why not such a small book? Can you not say it in the you know, it's within the realm of Krishna consciousness. Don't worry, but what to do? I'm a little intellect. I don't think I'm intellectual. I'm curious, and then I'm reading. It's a material desire. But how does this ever change? I'm asking myself, Manisha, what is your program? How do desires change? Amrita Kelly. Difficult. Better not ask. Yes. Here comes the answer from the Shastras. Sangha. Association somehow gets into the heart and purifies the desires and the orientation in your life. This is how we are. We respond to association. And this is what the Bhagavatam says as an answer. Uddhava, says Krishna, only by associating with my devotees can one destroy material attachment and attain me. This is a very, very important process. And Krishna gives examples to Uddhava. Prahlad Maharaj, he said, had the association of Narada Muni. And in the womb, he became a pure devotee. Vivashvan, the brother of who? Ravan. Ooh, Ravan. He makes the whole world cry. He is so cruel. Had association with whom? It's difficult. Hanuman. Hanuman came and visited him. And Vibhishan, wow, I become a devotee. Maya Danava is an asura. Had to build an assembly hall for the Pandavas and often conversed with Yudhishthira Maharaj, became a devotee. Then there were some wives of the Brahmanas in Braj, and outside of Braj, outside of Vrindavan area, and they would have association with the Brijbasi betel nut sellers. Who came from Braj to Mathura to sell their products, and they became pure devotees by this association. You need to have good association, Prabhus. And that is what the organizers of this festival want to create. They want to create a forum for you to have association with devotees who are all now in one mind. We will build a group mind. Let's celebrate Nityananda Trayodasi. I know you also have another agenda, but that's your thing. This is very important to have association with devotees. One of your Ravis said to us, who are also with that mind, I want to obtain bhakti. And this is how your desires change. You would think, too simple, and keep on associating with karmis. Let us meet in 10 years and look at you in 10 years. It is something which is difficult to understand because you can't see how the energy from one heart goes into your heart. It's not, you can't see it with your eyes. You can only see, my God, I was in Vrindavan, I had association with all the devotees, and I don't like this Western style of living. It's somehow there. Something has changed with me. I don't know what it is, but I'm changing. Prabhupada said he made this movement for this purpose, so that we can have association. Let us not ruin this movement by, you know, bringing politics into it or ulterior motives and so on, and then it won't work. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I was a little long, but I will stop here now. Do you have any quick questions? I'm so happy I said this. You can't believe how happy I am. Thank you so much, Prabhu sir. Thank you for listening carefully. You want a summary, I can see. You feel information overkill, overload. Very simple. Bhakti, you all know the 3 points of bhakti. Today we have learned 2 additional points. The devotee should see bhakti is my goal. He shouldn't have an ulterior motive. I want something else than bhakti. And he should jnana and karma, that means other processes, he should take care that this doesn't cover him. If Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a wonderful point, he says, I don't find it in my notes. But I know it by heart. He says, let the devotee make bhakti their goal. And in this way, they enthrone, they put a throne in their hearts where they invite Krishna. And when Krishna is invited in the heart, it's like he's like the sun. More and more he will rise like the rising sun, and the darkness will go. And that's the whole idea of this seminar. You should think of Krishna and do service for him and try to please him, and you will see every day the light will become stronger if you just do this. Think of Krishna, don't think of your weakness. Don't think also of your desire while you do bhakti, the other desires. Just be there with Krishna, and he will rise in your heart and spread the light, and the darkness will go. But if you never start with Krishna, if you never put him there, you have no chance. It will not work for you. You will remain frustrated. You won't get to where you should go. Krishna, Krishna. This may be all I want to say. Krishna, Krishna. If you forget everything and you remember Krishna, Krishna, you got it. Krishna. Dobro, any questions? We have always the same devotees, but they are philosophical devotees. Gaur Govinda, you will have the first card. And then Peter Gustafsson.
Hare Krishna Guru
Maharaj. Hare Krishna Guru
Maharaj. Can you tell us how we hear that bhakti is in our heart, and that bhakti comes in our heart from
devotees. Devotees? So which is it?
Yeah. Can you explain to us a little bit?
Oh, hope you wouldn't. If you go to some places in Vrindavan, you will have 2 parties who fight with each other on this question. It's a difficult question. Oh, Gaur Govinda. To answer this question, Gaur Govinda, can you ask me this question at another time, please? It's not... I will lose the point of this lecture, but it's a good question. It must be asked. In short, both. but you need to figure it out how it works. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Peter.
How do we know that what we are doing, our activity, is actually pleasing Krishna and not our speculation? For example, if we have two choices, both could please Krishna, maybe we choose the one that pleases us more.
Would you like to hear Prabhupada's answer to this question? Of course you can't say no. He says, the criterion, you know, if something is bhakti or not, is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. Must know this, what he wants him to. This understanding can be achieved through intense speculation. No, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I just lost the line here. This understanding what Krishna wants him to do, you can just think honestly, what do you want to do? And then think, this is what Krishna wants. Oh, sorry, I'm already... I'm joking to us because... So let me tell now what it is. But listen, maybe I tell you the wrong thing and you have to find it out. The criterion is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. I think 50% of my disciples have agreed to this. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his own spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Actually, he said, I made a mistake in reading this. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Now, I'm thinking, and I want to speak very sincerely, I'm a teenage mother. Teenage mother means like this. Sometimes it happens that teenagers become mothers. They are very young. They are children themselves, but they have to be children. They have to be mothers for their children. No? They may not be so... Can you understand what is a teenage mother? 15, 16 years old, and she has a child. Somehow, she has to learn many things because she is so young. But she also is the mother to the children. She has the milk with which the children need. So in the same way, I was asked to do this by Prabhupada. I'm not perfect. I don't want to say this, but I want to satisfy Prabhupada. This is my real motive in life and want to practice bhakti, and you know, I'm a teenage mother, young person, and therefore I always say, like a real teenage mother says, I'm young, but my mother knows many things. You go to your grandmother, she says to the child, and grandmother will love you very much, Baka will love you very much. In the same way, I always want to say, let's go to Prabhupada to be safe. He is the father. He knows everything. I am a teenage. So, but we must find out. And some things our spiritual, also our teenage spiritual master knows, and he will tell you when he doesn't know. He will say, "I'm sorry, I can't." You know, we will have to find, but we will find the answer to this question. Don't worry. But I'm not. I don't at the moment. Don't know. I feel this is how bhakti comes to the world. We must come to a pure source, and we must learn from this source. Nicely, and this is how we know what Krishna wants of us. Krishna. That was Prabhupada's answer to this, and it's so simple. You immediately understand it's true. How do you know what Krishna please? You must ask someone, and you can sometimes. And we know from Prabhupada's books a lot what Prabhupada likes, what Krishna likes. Hare Krishna. Dobro. So we are ending this class here. I thank you very much. If you forget everything of this class, the summary is simple. Bhakti must be our goal, and we must take care that we are not covering this goal with other things. Huh? Jnana, karma, and so on. And then, as we continue with our bhakti, very soon we will have uttama bhakti, or pure bhakti. Why? Because if we put Krishna in the throne of our heart, he will spread the rays of the sun, and it will go. One devotee told me, Guru Maharaj, the devotee said, yes, I now want to hear about Krishna. Wow, I said. Let's form a club. I also want. This is really the sign of advancement. Because then you can put Krishna in your heart and you can serve him. Hare Krishna. You can do bhakti. Hare Krishna. All the best. Good prasadam. Eat good prasadam. This is the day after Ekadasi. It's much easier. Ekadasi day is always difficult. Now you must eat. And maybe our Madan Mohan is there. No, you are there, Govindanandan? Yes, please. Let us just listen to Govindanandan.
I would just like to welcome all devotees that came and we didn't see them yet. Please, from our heart, we welcome you all. This wonderful celebration. I will confirm what Guru Maharaj said. Next thing that we will do is that breakfast will be served, and we ask drivers who drive devotees to the